Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Amazon gives up short-term profit, making a play for long-term gains.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Adrienne Hill. Coming up, the global perspective on business and economics. But first, here in the U.S., Amazon's shares are fizzling. That's after the company forecast it might lose money in the first few months of the year. Turns out some of Amazon's trouble has to do with the success of its Kindle e-readers. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins explains.
Amazon couldn't sell Kindles fast enough this holiday. The company says its e-reader sales tripled from a year ago. So why are profits dropping? Tech consultant Tim Beharin says blame Amazon's newest device, the Kindle Fire.
They sell it actually at a loss.
Beharin estimates the Kindle's components cost $202. The company sells it for $199. Beharin says Amazon needs the Kindle to stay competitive. It's a tool to sell movies, books, music, all, of course, through Amazon.
I actually think in the long term, it's still a very smart move. But it's not one that pays off immediately.
Or even in the near future. Amazon says next quarter it may report a loss. But it'd be hard to tell that listening to Amazon's chief financial officer, Tom Szkutak, in a conference call with analysts.
You know, we see a lot of opportunity in front of us. And yes, there's, you know, some pockets of softness.
Softness. That's business speak for things that aren't so much on fire. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Now on to the UK, where a former investment banker has had his knighthood revoked. Sir Fred Goodwin, or now Mr. Fred Goodwin, led the Royal Bank of Scotland when it nearly collapsed during the financial crisis in 2008. He joins an inglorious list of people who have had their knighthood taken away by the Queen. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has our story now from London.
Blood-stained dictators like Robert Mugabe, Benito Mussolini and Nicolae Ceausescu have also been stripped of honours conferred by the British Crown. Goodwin got his knighthood for services to banking. He's losing it because his bank had to be bailed out by the British government with $70 billion. Goodwin's demotion seems popular with the people, but Simon Walker, a spokesman for company directors, said it was unconstitutional.
There's a well-established practice where if people are convicted of a criminal offence, they lose the honours that they've been granted, and that's historic and that is appropriate. To do it because you don't approve of someone, I think politicises the whole honours system.
Other critics ask, where will this witch hunt against bankers end? There are numerous other bankers with knighthoods that had a hand in the crisis. And what about the man who received his honorary knighthood for services to central banking? Former Fed chairman Alan Greenspan. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed today. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow finished down 20 points to close at 12,632. It turns out January was the best it's been for the market in 15 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. And by The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com.
If you walk into a JCPenney today, you'll notice something different. There'll be no more special limited doorbuster sales. Instead, the company says it's just going to start with lower prices. Gone too are $29.99 dresses or $19.99 shirts. Instead, they'll be $30 or $20. Prices are all in round numbers now. The pricing strategy is part of a larger plan to remake the brand, being led by the new CEO, Ron Johnson. He came to Penney's after 15 years at Target and then a decade at Apple. We've got him with us now from Dallas. Good morning.
Good morning, Adrian.
Now, why go this direction, especially when so many of us have been trained to respond and jump at sales?
Most of what we buy every day is bought at everyday price. When we go to Starbucks, we buy coffee. When we go to the Apple store to buy an iPod, that's an everyday price activity. And so our industry in the department store, in competing with itself, has moved to a very promotional strategy. But if you go down to the center of the mall, most of the things are at everyday price. So we think we're kind of just going to where people have preferred to shop, as evidenced by most of the things they buy in their life.
Now, what can you apply from your experience at Apple to JCPenney? What rolls over?
I learned a tremendous amount at Apple working with Steve and the Apple teams. When you treat the customer well, like at Apple we try to enrich their lives, they respond. You know, people can buy Apple products everywhere, at Amazon, at Target, at Walmart, at Best Buy. But when their purchase really counts, they head down to the Apple store, right? We hope to become America's favorite store in the years ahead by earning their trust in everything we do, from how we price our products to how we present our products, and most importantly, how we serve them in the stores. So we've learned a lot from Apple, but we'll be carving our own trail.
Now, what's interesting is the department store that you're describing sounds a lot like the older department stores of the past that were maybe more full-service, hands-on kind of stores. Is that part of what you have in mind?
Yeah, I think it's rooted in the history of what made department stores great. For most of us at, you know, my age, we grew up when the department store was king of the retail hill, and we all went to the department stores to discover what was new. And if you look at it today, we don't do that. The consumers kind of move from the end of the mall to the middle of the mall, and we're only about 100 feet down the way. We just got to give her a reason to come back down. So it is. It's rooted in the heritage of what made the department store great, but we're going to do it in a very modern way.
Ron Johnson is the CEO of JCPenney. Thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, the world's most expensive pigeon, a flying, cooing, racing pigeon. Any idea how much it's worth? The correct answer is $328,000. At least that's what a Chinese shipping magnate paid to buy it. According to the Telegraph of London, pigeon racing is a fast-growing sport in China. But a lot of pigeon lovers aren't happy with the price. Apparently, racing birds isn't traditionally a rich man's hobby. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Farming, at least on a scale that feeds the country, isn't just about throwing some seeds in the ground. You need lots of money, too. Government money, sometimes.
You know, the farm safety net that my dad used and the farm safety net that my grandfather used will look totally different in 5 years.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. What Nebraska wants out of the fall's election? It's the real economy. Marketplace's special election coverage next time from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.